everyone. It's very good to be with you. This is the first time that I've given a talk to parents. I give all of my talks to college students, so it's a very special time for me to come and speak to you. I think, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about when I was preparing was I'm very young. My daughter is only 16 months old, and my mom always tells me, you don't know anything about being a parent. And so when I was thinking about that, I thought, well, what can I say to all of you who have had children for far longer than me? Well, first of all, I want to say that my mom is right. I don't know very much about parenting. So I want to say I'm ignorant, and you are far more wise than I. But there are some things that I think I do know about. And primarily, the number one thing that I know is what college students say about their parents. So I'm very excited, but I am a little nervous also because some of the things that college students say are very painful for them. So they are hurting inside. And when we talk about pain in the Chinese culture, I think it can be very hard for everyone who's listening. So I know that when my students sit down and talk to me about pain, especially about pain with family members, it hurts me too. So I want to be very careful as I talk about things that are hurtful. Sometimes my students will come to me and they will smile and they will try to act like everything is okay. And then they'll tell me that things at home are very, very bad. But they'll still be smiling because they want to honor their mother and father. They want to make it seem like, you know, they understand that mom and dad love me, but it still hurts very, very much. And so they're very confused about, do I smile or do I cry? And very few of my students ever cry, even though the pain that they feel is so very great. And the worst case scenario, and the reason why I feel like this talk this afternoon is so important to me, is because some students wait and wait and wait for many years, and they keep telling themselves that really everything is normal. Everything is normal. Everything is okay. This is how life is. But then all of a sudden, they begin to do very poorly in their classes. They begin to have fewer and fewer friends. Some of them begin to have spiritual problems. So they begin to doubt either that God exists or that God loves them. And the worst case scenario is that some of them even begin to think about hurting or killing themselves. And I want to say to you that 10% of my students... And I've had over 200 students. I've been there for 6 years. And, you know, each year we have about 100 people in our group. So do the math. I think I've seen like 200 students at U of M for a long time. 10% of them are hurting themselves or thinking about hurting themselves in some way. So this is very important. So I also want to say that since I'm not an expert in counseling, I want to rely on experts. So the first place that I'll go is to the Bible. God is the ultimate wise counselor, and He will tell us how to think about our relationships with our children. But I also think that He's given us very smart people who do research on this issue. There have been a lot of studies that have been published. Now, many of the studies that I have read, and I've read many, many studies over the last 6 years in order to understand how best to minister to college students and teenagers, they usually study a group of college students that is about 150. So when they take a sample, when they look at college students, it's usually 150. So I have more experience than many of these researchers because I've been there for a long time. So the results that I've seen, I think, are a little more accurate. So that's number one. I want to take from the Bible because the Bible has to shape everything that I say in order for you to believe me. Number two, my thoughts come from a lot of reading, a lot of textbooks, a lot of journal articles, all the way up to published last month. I'm always reading psychology journals and psychiatry journals to see what research is being done about Chinese parents and children, and mental health, and academic performance, these kinds of things. They're very important to me. And number three, my thoughts come from 6 years of experience. Not a lot of experience, but I've sat across the table with many children, and I've asked them what is going on in their lives, and they've told me many things. So they could be wrong. In fact, many times children are wrong. But I want to say, I want to tell you some of the things that they've told me. So let me ask this question first. How many of you have children at the University of Michigan? Currently. Okay, so I may know them, I may not. I don't know many of you, so I'm not going to use any names of children, but the reason why this is so important is, you know, some of them from all over the Detroit metro area are the stories that I'm going to tell. The other reason why this is so important is if your child is not at the University of Michigan right now, they may be at university one day, or maybe they are at a different university. And the research says that the statistics are the same all over the country. The statistics for parent-child relationships and the quality of the relationships, the statistics for Asian American mental health and how many Chinese American, how many ABCs try to hurt themselves or kill themselves or feel depressed, it's the same all over the country. So this is important for everyone. And if your child doesn't suffer from one of these illnesses at some point, it's still children in the church are hurting, and we need to care for them somehow. So those are the things that I want to say. So in order to look at the scriptures, I'd like to open up to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It's a very, very familiar passage. Actually, I forgot mine. Can I borrow... you know how it goes. It's children obey your parents. So that's the gist of it. But I'll read the text as it is. And then I'd like to pray for us. Here's what it says, and I'm going to put it in its context later. But Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on earth." And then he turns to fathers, and he says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." So this is the word of God, and I'd like to pray. Lord, I know that every parent here is here because they're concerned about their child, and I pray that you would bless them for that, and that you would grant them success in raising their children in the training and the instruction of the Lord, that they would raise godly children, and that the children would know that they are loved by you and by their earthly parents as well, and that the parents would know that their children love and respect and honor them too. Lord, this is a very difficult thing sometimes, and we pray for those of us in the room who are hurting or having difficulty with our children. And we know that our children are therefore having difficulty with us. So we do pray that you would help us and come by your Holy Spirit and teach us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Ephesians 6 teaches us a couple things. But when I preach on passages like Ephesians 6 and Luke 14, 26 and 27, you know what Luke 14 says. It says, if you do not hate mother and father. So this one says, obey your parents. And then Luke 14 says, hate your parents, right? And we know that Jesus is using an exaggeration there. But when I preach these passages, what I observe in students is they become very confused. They start to think, well, what do I do? Do I obey my parents or do I obey Jesus? Now, that we know that that's a false choice, right? Because Jesus doesn't ask us to really, literally hate our parents. But he is asking us to say, Jesus is number one in my child's life, and Jesus is number one in my life. But students are confused. They don't know what to do. And the reason, I think, is this. It's because they're focusing on behaviors. What do I do, right? So how do I honor my parents, and how do I obey Jesus' teaching in Luke chapter 14? How do I do that? They don't know how. It's because they're focusing on behaviors. Now, the way that I observe this to be true is when I ask students, you know, what are you most concerned about in college? their whole list is behaviors. I'm concerned about studying hard. I'm concerned about managing my time. I'm concerned about going to church. All of them behaviors. No one is concerned about whether or not they have a good relationship with their mom and dad. And no one is concerned about whether they have a good relationship with Jesus Christ. But they're all concerned about, what do I do? Am I doing the right things? That's very important, but it's also missing a piece, a very important piece, that I think we need to provide them as parents. There is a time and place for this discussion about Ephesians chapter 6. I think when we look at this passage, the question that we ask as Christians is, you know, chapter 5 is about wives submit to your husbands. When we look at this passage, we say, well, who is supposed to do what? What are wives supposed to do? What are husbands supposed to do? What are children and parents supposed to do? What are slaves and masters supposed to do? And I think that's an important thing to ask. But Paul has something else in mind. He doesn't just want us to ask, what do we do? Paul wants us to think about something much bigger than that. You may recall from earlier in the book of Ephesians that Paul's main concern, it's not that children obey. It's not that wives submit. His main goal in chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, is that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me translate what that means. He is concerned that the church would be one church, not divided, so that everybody in heaven and on earth could say that this is the wisdom of God, that there on the cross, he created one new creation, not two. There used to be two, and Jesus on the cross made one. And when there are divisions between wives and husbands, between slaves and masters, between children and parents, Paul becomes very concerned because the church is not behaving like the church. Now, we know that difficult relationships or hard or broken relationships exist between parents and children, wives and husbands, all the time. And I think Paul would say the same things that he said to the Ephesians to us today. But ultimately, when we look at these passages, I think Paul says, don't focus only on the behaviors, because I have something much bigger. And that is that all of creation would know that God is wise because his people are one. This is a very different way of looking at parenting. So when we look at parenting, I usually think about, what should my child do and how do I make sure that he or she does that thing? Instead, what Paul is asking us to do is, how do I make sure my family and my church is one so that all of creation will know that God is wise? That is his concern in the book of Ephesians. So my main concern for you is that your relationship with your children is as peaceful and as harmonious as he asks of the church in Ephesus. He says, he talks about the spirit of unity, right? And that is what I think he's asking us to think about when we parent our children. So the next thing I want to do is talk about the main issues that I see in that your children, maybe not specifically, but children in general, come and talk to me about. The number one thing, and I'll rank them in order of importance, the number one thing is, do my parents really love me? Now, this is a very difficult question, because the answer is actually, it's yes. I mean, that's why all of you are here, is because you love your children. But the top things that I hear children say when they come to me and they have problems is, no matter what I do, it's not good enough for my parents. And that's number one. Number two is, my parents never tell me that they love me, and they never hug me, or things like that. Now, especially the men, or the boys, they come to me and say, my parents never hugged me or told me that they love me. And they say this especially of their fathers. My father never demonstrated. Now, here's the funny thing about that. None of them want to be hugged anyway. The reason why I say that, and I think it is funny, the reason why I say that is they have learned, because they've grown up here in America, that when Americans hug each other, that's the sign of affection. They may not want to be hugged, but they know that that's what that means. And so when that's absent from them, that's what they think. Okay? So I want to talk about not what you're doing wrong, but what they think. And I want to again say, sometimes children are wrong. You know, often children are wrong. But this is what they think. One of the studies that I've read recently, it was published in 2006, it took a look at, do children think that their parents are warm to them? That's the word it uses, are warm to them. It's not, do they love me? All the students, all the college students said, yes, my parents love me, but are they warm to me? And so they studied Chinese Americans, so ABCs, and then they also studied Americans, so white students. Now, here's the interesting result of this study. All of the students said, I wish my parents were warmer. All of them said that. But the Chinese students, they used a number scale on a scale of 1 to 4. The Chinese students had an ideal. I want my parents to be this warm to me. And the American students had an ideal too. I want my parents to be this warm to me. For the American students, when they asked them, well, how warm are your parents to you? They said, well, maybe this warm. Just a little bit less than I would want. But when you ask the Chinese students, how warm are your parents really? They say, well, not very warm. Okay, so this is what they think. They may not be right, but this is what they think. Now, the second question that this study asks is, okay, let's look at these two things. We know that the Chinese American students don't think that their parents are warm. Now, the question that they ask is, what is the frequency or how many of them are suffering from depression? And, of course, many more of the Chinese American students are suffering from depression than the white students. So we don't know, I mean, some of you may be psychologists or psychiatrists here. The limitations of this study are very clear. They talk about the limitations in the last part of the paper. But the thing that I do want to focus on is perception. The most important thing is your children are growing up in America, and they're learning what affection is, they're learning what love is, and it looks different in America than it does in Taiwan, in China, in Hong Kong, etc. And I think you guys, I mean, it's obvious. You know that's true. The way that we do things here in America is very different than the way we did in the old country. And it's very difficult for you, too, to figure out, you know, what should I do, what shouldn't I do. When my parents came here, they said they wanted me to be Americanized. Now they regret it. Okay? So, you know, there's good things about being Americanized, and then my parents discovered later there's some bad things about being Americanized. What the study shows, many Chinese parents are confused about how American do they want their kids to be and how Chinese do they want their kids to be. Well, the same thing is true of Chinese kids. They don't know how much to be Chinese and how much to be American. In fact, one of the main complaints for Chinese American kids is my white friends, my American friends, they say I'm not American enough. And my Chinese parents and their generation, they say I'm not Chinese enough. So what do I do? And they become very sad. So the question again is, do my children know that I love them? That's the number one issue, I would say. Number two is cultural differences. So our schools, our public schools and our universities, they teach your children that no culture is superior to another culture. Now the funny thing is, they say that, but this is true, and so I am superior. Now, they're taught that no culture is superior. Some students believe this. Others don't believe this. But of all of those students, nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about which culture is better. But I will hear my students say, oh, you know, the Chinese are so good because of this. And then the next thing that they'll say is, oh, but the Chinese are so bad because of this. And so they're also very confused about what is good and what is bad about Chinese culture. Well, the question we need to ask is, what does the Bible tell us about Chinese culture? Scriptures tell us that all cultures are sinful, right? That a part of every culture has fallen into sin, but also that God created every human being in his image so that we all bring gifts that God has given us. So our students are right. Our children are right. There are good things and there are hard things about being Chinese and about being American. But the way that this comes into play is that our children are confused about which one to live into more. I met a student once, and he said, "I basically try to act like I'm white. I try to act like I'm white because when I try to act like I'm Chinese or when I'm acting Chinese, people don't understand what I'm doing." And basically, this is the wrong thing that he says, but this will tell you what he's thinking. He says, "Well, white people get their way, and so I will act white." And that's not right. It's not right that white people get their way all the time. But this is what he's thinking. So that's how confused people can be. And that's true of every Asian American student that I've talked to. There is some level of struggle. How Chinese am I? How American am I? The students who say, "I'm very, very Chinese. I'm very less American. I'm not very American." The students say, "I'm very Chinese." They have better relationship with their parents, but they have poorer relationship with their American friends. Now, the opposite is true. If they say, "I'm very American and I'm not very Chinese," they have poor relationship with their parents, but very good relationship with their friends. And your children may be anywhere in between. So cultural differences are very important, and they generate a lot of questions for us. So you see, I'm being very general because I want you to be able to ask questions later. Number three, I think the biggest question for parents is academic success. Right, you send your kids to college, you pay lots of money to come to the University of Michigan or Michigan State or Oakland University, wherever, and you want your children to succeed. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's very good. My mom said to me, my dad said to the kids, "My job is not to tell you what you're doing right. My job is to tell you what you're doing wrong." Right? Right? Isn't that true? Why? So that I can do better, so that I can succeed. And that's a good thing, but let me tell you how your children understand that. When it comes to academic success, the children always say, "My parents pressure me too much." This is true for most of my students. Very, very few say that my parents don't pressure me at all. Most of my students say, "I feel a lot of pressure." And then I'll ask the next question, "Who puts that pressure on you?" Most of them say, "I put it on myself." Okay? Most of them say, "I put it on myself." Well, okay, that's fine. They don't want to say, "My parents put the pressure on me." And maybe you don't put the pressure on me. But the next question is, where does that pressure come from? Because American students don't feel it. White students don't feel it. Where does the pressure come from? It comes from our culture. And there are good things about it because On the average, Chinese American students perform better in school because there's some of this pressure. Okay, so we know that that's true. Chinese American students perform better, especially when there's some pressure. But the cost is some of them will pick a major. Let's say they major in chemistry, and then all of a sudden they'll realize, "I'm not very good at chemistry. I'm doing very bad at chemistry." Now, at the University of Michigan, and most schools like the University of Michigan, students are required to take all kinds of classes, not just science, not just English, not just history. They have to take all kinds. So at the University of Michigan, a chemistry major will take maybe two classes of chemistry, one of history, and one of English, or something like that. What many of my students discover is that I'm very bad at chemistry, but I'm very good at psychology. But my parents don't want me to be a psychology major. And so now they're confused. I'm good at this. I'm bad at this. And let me just tell you what happens. Let me remind you. They could be wrong, but let me just tell you what happens. Their grades in chemistry go down. Their grades in psychology go up. I see this many, many times. But then they begin to lose motivation because they're a chemistry major. I hate my chemistry classes. I like my other classes, but I'm trapped in my chemistry major. I've watched maybe 5 to 10% of my students go on what's called academic probation. That means that for one semester, their GPA was less than 2.0 out of a 4.0 scale. The university is saying, if you don't bring up your grades, we'll kick you out of the university. Many of my students are very close to that 2.0, and some of them go below because they lack the motivation to study. They will study very hard for psychology, but they won't study for chemistry. And when I talk to them, I say, look at what you're doing. You are sabotaging, you are ruining your chemistry major just because you're interested in something else. So I try to help them understand what they're doing. But I also ask the question, is there something that you need to talk to your parents about that has to do with your motivation or your major or your career? Now, you can guess what are the major careers that U of M students are going into. Business, law, engineering, medicine, right? These four.